Good morning. Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. We are in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 9, resuming our study today in verse 22, and we have been looking at the plagues that God has sent against Egypt because they refused to let the Hebrews go free. And so we will be looking at plague number 7 to begin with today, and that would be the plague of hail mixed with fire that God warned he would send upon the land of Egypt if Pharaoh would not release his people. And graciously, God also went over the head of Pharaoh and spoke directly to the Egyptian people. We saw that last time, warning them about this hail and fire that was coming and telling them that they needed to take their servants and their livestock out of the field and into the barn or whatever so they could avoid the consequences of this hail and fire, which was coming because Pharaoh refused to let the people go free. So with that, we pray, Lord, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 22, Exodus chapter 9. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, on man, on beast, and on every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt." And Moses stretched out his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire darted to the ground, and the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with hail, so very heavy that there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. God pulverized Egypt with hail, and he also bombarded them with fire. And it doesn't seem as if this fire was your normal natural lightning. It doesn't speak of it as being lightning. But whether it was severe lightning or some other form of fire from the sky, I guess that's irrelevant. You know, when you're dealing with third-degree burns over 90% of your body, and your servants have gone up in flames, and your livestock have been struck and killed, you don't care about questions like that. The important thing is that God said he would do it, and he did it. The weather is at God's disposal to use as he pleases. And he may use it to bless or to punish. It is his to use whenever he chooses to use it. And someone might say, well, I understand meteorology, and I know that the weather is a result of the different elements in the atmosphere. Well, that's true. But God created those elements, and he sometimes uses them to get people's attention. And I'm not saying that he is responsible for every tornado that hits, but I am saying that he uses those things to get people's attention, to get them to pray, to get them to wake up spiritually. Verse 21. And I want to read verse 21 before we go to the next verse, which is verse 25. Verse 21, "But he who did not regard the word of the Lord left his servants and his livestock in the field." Why did the Egyptians who left their servants and their livestock in the field, why did they do that? Because they had no regard for the word of God. Okay, verse 25, "And the hail struck throughout the whole land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast, and the hail struck every herb of the field and broke every tree of the field." Some didn't believe it would happen, but every man and beast in the field was still struck down, whether they believed it or not. They didn't believe it would happen, but every plant was beaten down, and every tree was shattered. You know, our belief or our unbelief does not stop the word of God from coming to pass. God is not at the mercy of man's belief. God is not at the mercy of man's ideas or man's thinking. Verse 26. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said to them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and my people and I are wicked. Entreat the Lord that there may be no more mighty thundering and hail, for it is enough. I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. Well, it sounds good, doesn't it? Pharaoh sounds like he has completely caved in to the will of God. He says all the correct things. There's really only one problem. He's not sincere. Oh, he regrets the suffering of his rebellion. But regret over suffering isn't good enough. God demands sorrow for sin, and he demands repentance. Pharaoh wanted to get out of this mess. He wanted the suffering to stop, but he didn't want to change his ways. So this judgment will soon be followed by another. Verse 29, and Moses said to him, as soon as I have gone out of the city, I will spread out my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease, and there will be no more hail, that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. The earth is not God, as some people believe. And the earth doesn't belong to any created being, including people. The earth belongs to God. Psalm 24 says the earth is the Lord's and everything on it. God's control over nature here proves that he owns nature. God's control over the elements proves that he owns those elements. Good thing to remember. This planet that we're living on, it belongs to God. We're just living here by his permission. It's not our home, it's his home. He lets us stay here. Verse 30. But as for you and your servants, I know that you will not yet fear the Lord God. Now the flax and the barley were struck. It's talking about in the hail. For the barley was in the head and the flax was in bud. But the wheat and the spelt were not struck, for they are late crops, so they were spared. So Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread out his hands to the Lord. Then the thunder and the hail ceased, and the rain was not poured on the earth. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain, the hail, and the thunder had ceased, he sinned yet more, and he hardened his heart. He and his servants, of his own free will, he hardened his heart. He said, I'm not going to obey the word of God. I'm going to refuse to submit to the Lord in spite of these punishments. I'm not going to do it. And so it says in verse 35, the heart of Pharaoh was hard. Neither would he let the children of Israel go as the Lord had spoken by Moses. The king must have thought, boy, that was a rough plague. That hail and fire. I almost didn't make it through that one, but I did. He made it through that one, so he thinks, like the fool that he is, that it's safe to keep the Hebrews as slaves. You see, Pharaoh knew exactly what Moses wanted to hear, and he knew the right words to say, but as I said earlier, he was not sincere when he spoke, and there are plenty of people like Pharaoh. They say what you want to hear in order to get on your good side, but they don't mean it. They don't follow through. It's very important to watch what people do over a period of time before you commit to them, because words by themselves mean nothing. Chapter 10. Now the Lord said to Moses, "Go in to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of the servants, of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine before him." One of God's purposes for judgment in this world, for sending judgment in this world for sin, one of the purposes is to show his power to unbelievers. And that's exactly what happened in Egypt. By the time these plagues are over, the Egyptians will know that God is God. And likewise, by the time this world is finished, by the time Jesus returns, by the time God is displaying his wrath on sin and sinners in such powerful, miraculous ways in the final days before Christ returns, by the time that's all done, everyone will know that God is God. Not everyone will turn to him. Most people will not repent because, like Pharaoh, they stubbornly love their sin and they refuse to submit to the owner of the planet and their creator. But everyone will know that God is God. What I am saying is that all mocking of God, all mocking of his word will come to an end. All denying God's holiness, his righteousness, his right to rule, his right to judge, all denying of his existence will end. You know, there won't be any atheist in eternity. That's right. Even people who go to hell will believe in God, will believe that Jesus is the Son of God. There will be no atheist in eternity, no matter where people may spend it. Verses 1 and 2. Now the Lord said to Moses, "Go in to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine before him." God sent the plagues, as I said earlier, to teach the Egyptians that he is the only God. But notice, God also sent these plagues to show his people, the Israelites, that he is the only God. To put his power, his justice, and his hatred of sin on display for his people. He wants his people to know what kind of a God he is, so that they don't make the same mistakes that the Egyptians did. We learn from these plagues that God is a just God. We learn that when we look at what he did to Egypt. And so then we can tell others. See what happens when people turn their backs on the Almighty? See what happens to a country when it, with malice aforethought, publicly parades those things which are detestable to God. The Bible says the nations that forget God go to hell. And anyone who thinks that America has a free pass to snub the Lord God and flaunt their sin before him must have climbed aboard the trolley and traveled to the land of make-believe where they're dwelling, far away from common sense and far away from reality. Egypt is meant to be our personal wake-up call and our national wake-up call. You can't flaunt your sin in front of God and stubbornly refuse to repent and hope to get away with it. It's not going to happen. Verse 3. So Moses and Aaron came in to Pharaoh and said to him, "Thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me." Egypt is in ruins. Consequently, God asked Pharaoh, "How much longer are you going to let this go on?" You know, God would have forgiven the king of Egypt, and he would have certainly blessed Egypt if they had repented of their sin, if they had released the Hebrew slaves, if they had turned to God and started to worship him instead of all their false deities. He would have blessed them. God is no respecter of people. And so good times were within his grasp, but he didn't want those good times at the expense of his pride. Pride is a very powerful sin. It keeps many people from experiencing the good that God has for them. 4. Or else, if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your territory. Locusts have 4 large teeth, which cross each other like scissors, which is why locusts can chop and devour vegetation like a garbage disposal. And when you talk about a locust invasion, you are talking about an invading army. Several years ago, National Geographic did a report from Africa about a locust invasion, and they reported that there was a swarm of locusts 17 miles long, which darkened the sky like a huge storm cloud. 17 miles. And after they left the area, the land was decimated. All vegetation gone. Now think about that. And with that in mind, notice verse 5. God says, "And they, the locusts, shall cover the face of the earth," meaning Egypt, "so that no one will be able to see the earth, and they shall see the residue of what is left, which remains to you from the hail. And they shall eat every tree which grows up for you out of the field." Now, a 17-mile-long army of locusts, like the one that devastated part of Africa, actually would have been a pleasant alternative to the army of locusts that Egypt is going to endure. These locusts are going to wipe out every vegetation, every bit of it, in all the land of Egypt. A nationwide, total locust invasion. Verse 6, God says, "They shall fill your houses, the houses of all your servants, and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither your fathers nor your fathers' fathers have seen, since the day that they were on the earth to this day." And he turned and went out from Pharaoh. You know, when this whole thing started, Moses had been in awe of the king of Egypt. Not anymore. Moses has learned by experience that the king is nothing compared to Almighty God. Consequently, Moses and Aaron break every rule of protocol by turning their backs and walking out on the king. The audience must have been shocked, but that's exactly what they did. They delivered Pharaoh the word of God, an ultimatum from God Almighty, and when they were finished speaking, they turned their back on the king and they walked out of his presence in front of all of his officials. And like I said, they must have been in shock, because nobody did that to a king. You didn't turn your back on a king. You didn't walk out of his presence until you were dismissed. They did. No respect for this man at all, and he doesn't deserve any, because he leads people away from God. He's a terrible civil ruler. Terrible. And any civil ruler today who doesn't govern based on the principles of God's word is a terrible ruler. I don't care how popular they are. I don't care how beloved they are. If they lead by unbiblical principles, if they take a stand for principles that are unbiblical, they are wrong and they are terrible rulers. And someone says, "Well, yeah, but we have a constitution in this country that gives us freedom of religion and freedom of speech." Well, yeah, sure we do. But it doesn't change the law of God. Fine. You can exercise your freedom, so can your rulers. But if they don't walk in the will of God, in the moral will of God, as revealed in the scripture, they're in trouble, they're not good, they're not leading correctly, and people who follow them are not following correctly. They ought to be following God. So the king is a fool. He's an absolute moral idiot. And Moses is not in awe of him, and Moses does not respect him one single bit. Verse 7, "Then Pharaoh's servant said to him, 'How long shall this man be a snare to us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Do you not yet know that Egypt is destroyed? You know, back in verse 3, God said, how long? Now Pharaoh's officers also say, how long, king? How long are you going to let this go on? The king may be hardened through his sin, but his officers see what's going on, and they're tired of it. They've had it. The country is falling to pieces. The king has the power to stop it, but he won't do it. Verse 8. So Moses and Aaron were brought again to Pharaoh, and he said to them, go serve the Lord your God. But who are the ones that are going? Oh, this must have cut deep into Pharaoh's pride. Moses just snubbed him. He turned his back on the king and walked out in front of all of his subjects. And now Pharaoh has to call Moses back into his presence and give in to his demands? He did. The king of Egypt is desperate. He has no choice. But he's got another compromise in mind. Look at verse 8 again. So Moses and Aaron were brought again to Pharaoh, and he said to them, go serve the Lord your God, but who are the ones that are going? And Moses said, we will go with our young and our old, with our sons and our daughters, with our flocks and our herds. We will go, for we must hold a feast to the Lord. Then he said to them, the Lord had better be with you when I let you and your little ones go. Beware, for evil is ahead of you. The king says there would have to be an eternal, all-powerful God on your side for me to let everyone go as you suggest. In other words, I'm not going to do it, Moses. The king just changed his mind again. And I know you can't expect much from a man who prays to a river. And yet the king's stupidity continues to amaze me. Verse 11, not so, Pharaoh says, go now. You who are men and serve the Lord, for that is what you desired, says who? Pharaoh just tried to put words in Moses' mouth and in God's mouth. He's saying, you know, Moses, all along you've been saying that you just want the men to go and worship the Lord. So now that's what you've wanted. So now do it, do that. But don't take your children, don't take your livestock, don't take your wives, don't take everybody else. Just the men as you have wanted. That's totally fabricated by Pharaoh. Moses never said that. God never said that. He's making it up. And he's not going to get away with that. Well, anyway, look at the last part of verse 11. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. So notice how quickly the king drives Moses out of his presence before he has a chance to walk out on him again. And of course, Pharaoh just doesn't understand why Moses won't cut a deal with him. He doesn't get it. And the answer is easy. God doesn't cut a deal with anyone. Everything is on his terms. God does not strike a plea bargain with sinners. You do it his way, you receive his Savior, or you go to hell. You follow his law, or you won't be blessed. This is God's world, and we have to play by God's rules, and there is no plan B, and there is no alternative. Verse 12, then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land, all that the hail has left. So Moses stretched out his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind on the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locust. Two things determine the direction that locusts travel: vegetation and wind. And God made sure that the wind blew the locusts into Egypt, and when they got there, they gorged themselves on all the vegetation. And notice verse 14, and the locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and rested on all the territory of Egypt. They were very severe. Previously, there had been no such locust as they, nor shall there be such after them. A locust invasion could not get any worse than the one Egypt experienced, because they covered the entire land. It was as if Egypt was under a total eclipse of the sun. It was midnight during the day because the locusts blotted out all the sunlight in the entire nation. 15. For they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened. And they ate every herb of the land and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. There remained nothing green on the trees or on the plants of the field throughout all the land of Egypt. You know, the earlier plagues devastated Egypt. Now it's as if God just commissioned the locusts to go in and mop up everything that may have been left. Whatever was left after the first seven plagues was devoured by the locust. If it was green, if it was edible, then it was gone. And I want you to think about something. Years earlier, God saved Egypt from the effects of a terrible famine. Why? Because they honored and they listened to God's prophet Joseph, who gave them the word of God. Here, God reverses his blessing and applies a curse by removing all their food. Why? Because they would not listen to his prophet Moses, who gave them the word of God. Lesson for us in America, lesson for anybody who might be listening to this in any country: we cannot live off the obedience of our forefathers. Every generation brings blessings or curses upon themselves depending on their attitude toward God, his son Jesus Christ, and the written word of God. 16. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste and said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. You know, if this were a game of tennis, Pharaoh would be the ball. He is bouncing back and forth from one side to another. First he says, okay, I'm not going to let the Israelites go free. Who is the Lord? Then he says, okay, I'll let them go free. Then he drives Moses out. Then he calls him back in. Then he tells Moses, no way, I've changed my mind again. And then he says, I've sinned against your God. Then he says, no, I'm not going to do it. He's being ripped apart on the inside. You know, this guy hates Moses, and he hates God, but he simply cannot run from the consequences of his rebellion. He can't get away from God. He can't ignore God, no matter how hard he tries to do it, because this is God's world, and God calls the shots. And no matter how hard sinners may try, they cannot escape the authority of God in this world and in their life. No one can ignore that, because this is God's world. 17. Now therefore, listen, please forgive my sin only this once, and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only. So he went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord, and the Lord turned a very strong west wind, which took the locusts away and blew them into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the territory of Egypt. Verse 20, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the children of Israel go. And notice carefully, it doesn't say that the king wanted to repent and he wanted to let the people go, but God didn't let him. Oh, it's true. God hardened Pharaoh's heart, but only because that's what Pharaoh chose of his own free will, not just once, but several times. The king has confessed that what he did was wrong, but he didn't stop doing what was wrong, so it didn't do him any good. And there are millions of people just like Pharaoh. They confess, but they don't change, and they have no desire to change, and desire is the key. God's people, Christians, may fall into sin, but they confess, and they also have a desire to change. Those who sin and confess, thinking that their confession is a magical technique to bring forgiveness, but have no desire to change, are neither forgiven nor saved. Questions, comments, prayer requests. You can write me scripture verse by verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin 54402-2211. And don't forget, if you want to be a part of this ministry, you can be. Help us to get out the word of God to as many people as we possibly can. You can send your donations to Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau 54402-2211. Remember, your prayers and your financial support are greatly appreciated. Until next time, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.